Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables podcast with your host, Uncrustables. Okay, today's guest is rough around the edges. Please welcome Crust.
Thanks for having me.
Today's topic, he's round with soft pillowy bread.
Hey.
Filled with delicious PB&J.
Are you talking about yourself?
And you can take him anywhere.
Why'd you invite
him? And we are out of time.
Are you really cutting me off?
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, Crust.
Idly hey!
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of The Brett Allen Show, a pop culture video cast and podcast. And over the last couple days, the hits just keep on coming with the show. We've had some amazing people, and today will certainly not disappointment or will not disappoint. I'm so excited, I can't even talk. We are talking with legendary comedian Guy Torrey about Fat Tuesdays, delving into the history of an all-black comedy night at the Comedy Store in the 90s in L.A. Such a great show, such a great documentary. Guy, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yes. Well, this is a phenomenal show, a phenomenal documentary series. We had Finesse Mitchell on yesterday, and we talked about this. And I am just absolutely fascinated by this because this is a lot of cultural history about comedy that I was really unaware of, which is probably no surprise. And it's unfortunate, really, because this is just so good. If you can let our listeners and viewers in on your perspective on this and sort of the genesis of how this all came about.
Well, Fat Tuesdays was a comedy night that I created in 1995 to help showcase black comedians. L.A. was very divided at the time after the Rodney King riots. There was so much going on in the 90s that divided the country and divided L.A., the O.J. trial, the Michael Jackson trial, and then the Rodney King verdict. And there was a black comedy club in South Central Los Angeles where Hollywood would come and scout talent. And once the riots happened, people were scared to go to black neighborhoods in LA to see black, you know, comedians perform. So I had a solution, and I take the hood to Hollywood. I went to the world famous Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard where industry flocked to scout talent. And there's where I started Fat Tuesdays, and this documentary tells that story. And I didn't realize I had a story until I started researching, because a comedian, Michael Blackson, said, "Hey man, I miss Fat Tuesdays. These young comics need to know about it." And I started digging through my archives, and I had something. And I started interviewing comedians, and they started saying how much it meant to them and what happened to their careers after Fat Tuesdays. And I was like, okay, we got to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. And you have so many amazing people. And I have questions about this because Finesse said something interesting. I'll go ahead and ask this question first. He said initially when you kind of pitched the idea that the interest that you have now, the people that are on there and when you started, was a lot smaller because not a lot of people were super, I don't know if they were interested or excited about it. I'm very curious, like, what was your... how did you convince other black comics who are, all of these people are just icons, including yourself, to say, hey, let's do this documentary because I feel this is really, you know, an important message to tell?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. In Hollywood, you know, we're pitched so much stuff. Everybody has an idea. Everybody has a script. Everybody has a documentary. Yeah. So you hear so much of that, that you kind of tune it out until you know it's real.
Right.
And so years ago when I was pitching, when I was putting the sizzle together, the presentation to go out and pitch it, you know, I had nobody attached. I didn't have a studio attached. I didn't have a director attached. I didn't really have a big name attached. It was just like, hey, I want to shoot this sizzle to go shop this idea. So at that point, yeah, a lot of people were like, some people were committed and like, yeah, I got you. Like Cedric the Entertainer and Regina King and Tommy Davidson came through like shining stars. Like, okay, I'll help you. Every time I called on them, and Lunell, every time I called on them, they came. So they didn't really worry about who I had attached. They were doing it on the strength of our relationship and our friendship. Even Kevin Hart and Cat Williams also did an interview for the presentation. And then once I got the presentation done and I started calling people, and, you know, it was some interest, like, okay, well, just call me when you're ready. You know, it wasn't like, yeah, yeah, you know, call me when you're ready. And then, of course, having, you know, Kelsey Grammer's name attached to it, then it's like, oh, this is real. You're serious about this. And then having Amazon as the studio, Amazon Prime, is like, oh, you serious. And then you attach a director like Reggie Hudlin. It's like, oh, you ain't bullshit with this. You really serious about this. And so it went up and up. I mean, yeah, they'll come do it for Guy. But let's be honest. You get a name like Kelsey Grammer, Amazon Prime, and Reggie Hudlin. And the rest is history.
Game over.
Of course they're down
there. Yeah, of course.
I knew what I was doing. I knew my worth, but I knew it would be worth more by having those other icons attached to it.
I totally get it. I mean, as a podcast host, it helps to have very recognizable names to get other talent. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's social proofing. It's whatever.
Right, yeah.
I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. But after a lot of hard work and hustle and just putting in the time, that's the key, because I think and fully believe, you know, good things come to those who wait. If I had reached out to Danielle, you know, your publicist, you know, 3 years ago, hey, can we get Finesse and can we get, you know, Guy? Well, maybe, but let's think about this. You mentioned Tommy Davidson. He's been on the show twice. I love Tommy. He is one of the best people on the planet. One of the most salt of the earth, real people. And Lunell as
smart.
Well.
You're very smart.
Lunell is great. I had a very good conversation with her. She made me kind of nervous, I'll be honest, but she was very kind. This is interesting because you started something that became a huge success in the 90s. I know the 80s, there was a massive comedy boom. And that was when everybody was coming out to LA because Carson was there and everybody, that was kind of the way to get into television and holding deals and stuff like that. So you come to Missy Shore in the 90s, I'm assuming that's who you had this conversation with, and you said, I want to start this all black comedy night. And Finesse had mentioned that it started in the Belly Room, which seats maybe 70 people tops. And then all of a sudden now you're packing out the main room. Was that an interesting conversation to have with her? Because I've never ever met her, talked to her, but I've heard a lot of different stories about Mitzi. Was it an easy convince, or how did that, if you don't mind sharing, if you're comfortable, sort of, you know, kind of a synopsis of how you kind of even got her to be like, okay, you know, this is all yours.
Yeah, well, let's take it back a little bit too. Like that, yeah, the 80s boom of comedy was spectacular because the disco era had kind of dipped. So some of those old discotheques became comedy nights now, you know, or comedy clubs with this, and still had the mirrored ball in the middle of the room doing a comedy show, which is crazy. And then, you know, but it still was kind of mostly white. And the Chipman circuit was still very prevalent back then, you know, the black circuit, but for music, comedy, anything black. And then when the 90s hit, Def Comedy Jam was the thing that really brought black comedy, urban comedy, into white homes. Yeah. and also Black Homes as well on HBO. So that kind of was the tipping point of as far as like the entrance, the pioneer that made it more palatable. Like, oh, wait a minute, this successful show on HBO is getting numbers. So then when, you know, I decided to do Fat Tuesdays, my manager at the time was friends with the GM and the booker, talent booker at the Comedy Store, Scott Day was his name. And he had a conversation with him and said, hey, my client would like to, you know, do a room to showcase Black comedians. And I guess they made it a little easier to do in a way because Eddie Griffin had attempted it as well before I did. And it didn't last long. But I think Eddie got too busy and blew up and couldn't probably do it anymore. So they saw the potential, you know, with that. And then when I came along, you know, it was basically like, okay, you get February, which probably was their Black History love. Like, we give you February.
Right, of course. Black History Month.
Because all I had was February to make it work. I had the month of February to make it work. And it gave me Tuesday nights, which is the worst night of the week for anything. Taco Tuesdays wasn't even popular back then. and then they gave me the smallest room. Finesse is right. The belly room. But it holds like 90 people. But 70 because people were starting to get larger and taking up more than one seat. So it probably really was
because
about
of
70
Taco
people
Tuesday.
That we,
yeah, we'll say that.
Because of Taco Tuesday. Exactly. Fat Tuesday. Fat Taco Tuesday. So that's how it really happened. So the conversation I personally didn't have. But once I got in there, then Mitzi kind of like left me alone. As long as the bar was making money, it was fine. And there was a few fights and stuff that happened that Mitzi wasn't happy with. And I had to end up getting my own insurance for that night and you know, things like that. But other than that, she kind of stayed out of the way.
Wow. I just find all of this so, so fascinating. I'm not sure if you are, and you might be familiar with Wayne Fetterman. He wrote a book on the history of comedy. Of course, there was another documentary series. I think it was on HBO or Showtime about The Comedy Store with Mike Bynes.
Showtime.
And now this, I have spoken to so many comedians, but I am just fascinated by your world as a comic because it's so different even from the world of acting and film and television, because what you do, I feel like, is a very special gift, just to be able to get up there and make people laugh, but then to create something like this and to just really like change the landscape of comedy. And as you said, and we've said to Finesse, you know, getting Black comedy into the homes of people, into the minds of people, because I mean, you know, it's I just find it interesting, you know, that it just was really not really a thing. But other than what you said, it kind of makes sense. Has the Comedy Store always been your home club? Is that where you got, were you kind of a regular there, or did you do other places?
Oh, I mean, I was a regular there because of Fat Tuesdays. I travel a lot. I do a lot of the improvs and Funny Bones and Levity Lives, you know, and comedy zones around the country. So my home club has really been the road, to be honest. That's where I perform the most. And the Comedy Store is, I can call it my home club, but also, you know, I work at the improv as well, Hollywood Improv. I work at, you know, the Laugh Factory. But if because of Fat Tuesdays, I can definitely say, you know, that's my home and my home base because the show was anchored there. And I'm out of the three clubs because of Fat Tuesdays and doing it for 10 years. I've been on stage more there than anywhere else in Los Angeles, but around the country, the improv chains and the Funny Bone chains is where I kind of, you know, make my home.
I love it. One last question here, Guy, as we wrap up this conversation. I'm very interested, again, as I said earlier, the world of comedy, comedians just absolutely fascinates me. What was it that appealed to you about becoming a comedian and a storyteller? Like, what was it that drew you in and said, hey, this is what I want to do? Because it's just so different than what most people might be familiar with.
I was a college dropout and need to prove to my siblings that I'm not. No.
That's funny.
That I can make more money than them without a degree. No, I'm just joking. That's horrible advice for kids.
I mean, it's probably true. It's very true.
Yeah, well, I do. But anyway, but no, the thing about it was, I've always liked attention growing up. You know, no matter what it was, I just like attention. And I love cheering people up. I was always the guy that wanted to, if you're in a bad mood, I'm trying to cheer you up. I used to get, in college, I used to get calls at 2 a.m. from girls, which I thought were booty calls, but they weren't. They had just broken up with their boyfriends and wanted me to make them laugh at 2 a.m. Go figure. So, you know, it was, I guess the combination of liking attention and loving cheering people up is doing stand-up comedy is the best recipe.
I love it. Well, you've had such a long and iconic career, and really this documentary, again, I highly recommend people watch this that are watching and listening. And again, we'll link it in our show notes. It's Fat Tuesdays, available to stream now on Prime Video. Again, it delves into the history of your Fat Tuesdays, the all-black comedy night at the Comedy Store in the 90s, and really lets anybody and everybody in on just such a period of time. The 90s was just so on fire with stand-up and just a crazy time. Lots of good memories, I'm sure.
It's so crazy hearing legend and icon attached to my name. It's so weird. I'm in New York right now. I stopped by the Comedy Cellar last night, and I see Michael Che and Chris Rock, and we have a conversation. They were both doing time on stage. And when I think icon and legendary, I think of, you know, Chris Rock, Michael Che,
sure,
you know, Dave Chappelle, my brother Cedric, and all those guys, DL. So it's weird hearing it attached to my name. It's just weird.
Yeah,
but thank
it's
you.
Very
I
true. I mean,
it.
I'm sure it can probably be a polarizing term at some point. But I mean, honestly, like, you know, as they say, you have the receipts, my friend. Like, you have the proof of of really putting the grind in and enjoying the success. And as a side note, yes, college is cool, but I'm certain you probably make 3 or 4 times hand over fist. I have a bachelor's degree, and I have no doubt about that. So I can, it's funny, but true. Everybody, please, again, this Fat Tuesdays is now streaming on Prime Video. Please check it out. Guy Tori, thank you for your time, my friend. It's been a pleasure chatting.
Thanks for having me. It was definitely time well spent.
Thank you.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.